this thing called the anointing, according to scripture.
Yeah.
Now, this most important section completes the training. Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Life, the way you live, your personal life, and your doctrine, what you believe, what you teach, watch it closely. Persevere in that, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So is it important to watch our life and teaching and doctrine closely? Okay? Yes. Because if we do, He will save both ourselves and our listeners. Okay. Hebrews 12 verse 14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So of course, we have to watch our personal life. Let's focus more on this doctrine of the anointing. Now, the Lord heals the sick in different ways. There's authority, there's gifting, and so forth. But we must be careful to follow scripture, because not all miracles are from God. Isn't that right? Good. And not all who come in the name of Jesus Christ are from God. Okay? Not everyone who comes to you in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning servants of God, are from God. Let's look at the basis for that. Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Is that a command? Is that a command?
Yes.
Watch out that no one deceives you. So should we obey that command? Okay. And he says, watch out. So let's watch out right now. Let's watch out. Okay. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Okay. Many. What does many mean?
Many.
That means many, not a few. Not a few. Many will come in my name. Now, who comes in the name of Jesus? Ministers, servants of God. They will come in the name of Jesus, and they will claim, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Not just a few, but many. Now, this verse as it stands does not make any sense. I'll tell you why. Let's say someone comes to your church, guest speaker, he picks up the microphone and he says, I am the Christ. How many of you are going to accept him? No one. How many of you would be deceived by him? None of you. Okay? But today, do you know of anyone in the church who claims to be the Christ? Do you know any pastor or servant of God who claims to be the Christ? No. In the cults, yes. But in the mainland church, we don't know of a single servant of God who claims to be the Christ, right? And if he did, then he would be out of the church. But Jesus says, many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ, and many of us will be deceived. Many includes us, right? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Many could include you and me.
Yes.
We're going to be deceived.
Yes.
So, it doesn't make sense. Anyone who comes claiming to be the Christ, you're going to say, you're a false prophet, get out of here, right? Okay, so how do we understand this? Jesus says this is going to happen in the last days, right? This is the last days. Many will come and say, I am the Christ, and many of us are going to believe it. And we will be deceived. Interesting. How do you interpret this? Well, look. This is just repeating what I just said. How can we understand the warning of Jesus in that verse? Okay. Just look at it once more. There it is. Now, in Greek, I am the Christ can also be translated, I am the anointed. That is what Christ means in the Greek, anointed. And so let us simply substitute the word anointed for the Christ. Many will come in my name claiming I am the anointed and will deceive many. Does it make sense now?
Yes.
It's starting to make sense now because in the church there are many servants of God who claim to be anointed. Now it makes sense. Christ means anointed, right? That's the meaning of Christ, anointed. Yes. Okay, let's go on. Today in the church, there are many who claim to be anointed or to have the anointing. All right, let's look at this. In fact, the words anointed or anointing are never used in the New Testament as they are commonly used today to refer to disciples of Jesus Christ who are enabled to minister to others in power or through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The words anointed and anointing are never used to refer to such ministers. Let's examine the instances of these words in the New International Version. Okay, I searched all of the instances of anointed, anointing in the New Testament, and I'm going to share with you what I found. Okay, the word anointing is found in 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Alright, this refers to us, correct? Believers, the body of Christ. We have an anointing from God, from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that anointing, what is the result of that anointing? All of us know the truth. So this anointing is for us to know the truth. We are anointed to know the truth, to know Jesus, to know His Word, all right? Okay, yes, we have this anointing. This refers to an anointing for believers to know the truth. Is it? Does it refer to an anointing for ministering to others with supernatural power?
No.
Is that? No.
No.
It's not an anointing to minister to others, to bless others. No. It's an anointing for us to know the truth. Right? Verse 27, same chapter. Another instance of the word anointing. As for you, the anointing you received from Him, that's the Holy Spirit, remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit. Okay, yes, we have an anointing, it remains in us. And what does that anointing do?
It teaches
us about all things. Okay, this is an anointing which teaches us the truth. Okay? So this refers to an anointing in us which teaches about all things. It is not an anointing for us to minister to others. Correct? This anointing ministers to us. It teaches us the truth. It teaches us about all things. It's not for us to minister to others. No. Okay, here is an instance of the word anointed from 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Okay. Who is us here?
Us.
Is it some believers or all believers?
All believers.
Is it only some special believers or all believers?
All
believers. Okay, He anointed all of us. He set His seal of ownership on us. and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come in the next age. So this anointing is to set His seal of ownership on us. We are anointed. We are set apart as God's holy possession. Okay, that's the anointing here. We are anointed and set apart as God's holy possession. Okay? So, are we anointed?
Yes.
Yes. Praise God. Do we have an anointing?
Yes.
Yes. We have an anointing which teaches us all things, teaches us the truth, and we are anointed as God's holy possession. And to whom does this refer? Only special ministers of God?
No.
No, to the entire body of Christ. Amen. Okay? We do have an anointing. We are anointed. Yes. Let's go on. Now, these are the only instances of the New Testament of believers having an anointing or being anointed. That's it. That's it. There are no other instances in the New Testament where you find believers having an anointing or being anointed. That's it. Notice that this anointing specifically ministers to us. It teaches us and sets us apart as God's possession. Okay? That anointing actually ministers to us. It does not specifically enable us to bless or to minister to others. You get that so far? It says nothing about us being anointed to minister to others or to bless others. No. It ministers to us, in fact. Alright, let's go on to more instances of the word anointing found in the New Testament. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Now look at that closely. Who is the one who is anointed here? Jesus. It refers to Jesus and Jesus alone. Correct? If you know the Bible, you know this is talking only about one person, Jesus Christ. So this refers to the anointing on Jesus Christ Himself, and not an anointing on any disciple to minister to others. Okay? This is for Jesus only, not for us. Here's another instance, anointed. Mark 6:13. They drove out many demons, and anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. Okay, what is this kind of anointing? This is a physical anointing with oil to heal them. Right? This is a physical anointing with oil to minister to the sick people. This is not a supernatural anointing on the disciples to minister supernatural healing. It's just physically anointing sick people with oil. That's all this refers to. All right. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and so forth and so forth and so forth. Alright. This person indeed has been anointed to minister to others, to preach good news, to open the eyes of the blind and so forth, to release the oppressed. He is anointed to do all those things. But who is this person?
Jesus
Christ. It's not talking about us. It's talking about Jesus alone. Alright, another one. Acts 4, verse 26. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers together gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one, or some translations say against His Christ. Alright, who is this anointed one?
Jesus.
Is it talking about us?
No.
No. It's only talking about Jesus. Next, Acts 4:27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Who's the one who's anointed here?
Jesus.
He's not referring to any servant of God. Another one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Alright, this person was anointed, and he went around ministering with power and healing people, casting out demons. But who is the scripture referring to?
Jesus.
Jesus alone. It's not talking about any servant of God. Yes, Jesus was anointed to heal the sick. Jesus was anointed to cast out demons. Jesus was anointed to save, to deliver. This refers to the anointing on Jesus Christ himself, not on any disciple. Next, Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And what's the meaning of this word, anoint? They physically anointed the body of Jesus with spices. Okay? That's all this is referring to. This is not an anointing on us to minister to others with power. James 5 verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. What does this refer to? A physical anointing with oil. It's not talking about an anointing upon any disciple to minister to others. Now, we have just examined all the instances of the words anointing, anointed, and anoint, which are found in the New Testament of the New International Version of the Bible. That's it. We've examined them all. Let's draw some conclusions now from our brief study. Let's draw some conclusions. Current usage of the words anointed and anointing to refer to special servants of God who can bless or minister with power does not follow New Testament practice.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't follow the New Testament. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it does not follow New Testament practice. Okay? Proper usage of these words applies to one person alone in the New Testament. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. He alone was anointed to save, to deliver, and to heal. In the New Testament, when someone was anointed to heal or deliver or save, it was always Jesus, not any servant of God, not any disciple. Now, of course, we do have an anointing, yes, to know the truth. That anointing teaches us all things. We are anointed and set apart as God's possession. Yes, we do have that anointing. The whole church has that anointing. But in the New Testament, there is no specially anointed servant of God to minister to God's people. It is not in the New Testament. It is clear that as the Christ, Jesus was anointed to save us. Right? That's what Christ means. Anointed to save. The Greek word for save is soto, soto, to save. The word soto includes not only saving from sin, but also to deliver or protect, to heal from sickness, to preserve, to save, to do well, to be or make whole. That's what save means. Jesus was anointed to save, to do all of these things for us. Is there any servant of God who is anointed to do all of these things for us? There is no servant of God who is anointed to do these things. Only Jesus himself is anointed to save. Now, what about the Old Testament? All right, let's go to the Old Testament. Okay? Because in the Old Testament, we see anointed priests and prophets and kings. Right? Okay? We have to look at that. The Old Testament contains shadows, according to Colossians 2:17, and types which are fulfilled in the New Testament. Instances of the anointing upon men and of anointed ones in the Old Testament were all fulfilled in Messiah Jesus, the only one who was anointed to save, heal, and deliver. In the Old Testament, there were anointed kings who led God's people out to fight their enemies, who led God's people to victory, who blessed God's people by fighting their battles for them. There were such anointed kings, okay? Let's look at one of them. Let's look at one of these anointed kings. Let's look at Samuel first. The prophet Samuel was faithful in Israel as a prophet. But because his sons were corrupt, they were rejected by the people. You recall that? Look what the Israelites said to Samuel. You are old, and now we need someone else to take your place. Someone else to lead us. Your sons do not follow your ways. Now, appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Okay. They wanted a king. They wanted an anointed king now to lead them and fight their battles for them. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, okay, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. When the Israelites wanted a king, they were actually rejecting God Himself. Okay? Was it God's perfect will to give them a king? No. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. They were hard-hearted, hard-headed, stubborn. No, we want a king over us. Did God listen to them? Yes. God gave in and gave them Samuel. God, Saul. I'm sorry. Thank God for the Holy Spirit sitting right here. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes your wife is like the Holy Spirit. I think you need to get married. Right? All right, sorry for that. We want a king over us. And so God said, okay, you want a king? I will anoint a king. Why did God have to anoint a king? Well, a king has to be set apart, right? He's got to be special. He's got to fight. He's got to be anointed. You see, they don't want God. And so they have to have a human being who is anointed like God to save them, to protect them, to fight their battles for them. So whoever the king is, he has to be anointed to do what God wants to do for them. To protect them, to lead them out to fight their battles. We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. Okay, this is what people always want, including some believers today. They want a king to lead them and to go out before them and to fight their battles for them. All they do is go to church and give their tithes in the offering basket. And the king will lead us and fight our battles for us. This is what many believers want today. I'm sorry, let's go back to this. Therefore, it was not God's perfect will to anoint Saul as the king of the Israelites. to lead them and to go out before them and fight their battles. It was not God's perfect plan, was it? No. It wasn't His perfect will. It was second best. Okay? And so God anointed Saul. God set him apart so that he could be the king to lead his people and to go out before them and fight their battles. But look what Samuel said to the Israelites. But you have now rejected your God. He's the one who saves you out of your disasters and calamities. It's God who does it. And you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. When they asked for a king, an anointed king, it was evil, evil, evil in the sight of God.
Wow.
Okay. Do we want to commit evil?
No.
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 No. But when the Israelites asked for an anointed king, that was evil in the sight of God. 1 Samuel 12, verse 19. The people all said to Samuel, "Oh, pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die, for we have added to all of our other sins the evil of asking for a king."
Wow.
They realized it was evil. But did God give them Saul?
Yes.
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 God gave them Saul, yes. Moreover, what happened in 1 Samuel 15? Did Samuel turn out to be the perfect king?
Saul.
Thank you. Saul. Saul. Did Saul turn out to be the perfect king? No. Did he have some problems? Yes. Severe problems. In Samuel 15, Scripture tells us twice that God actually regretted giving in to the Israelites' demand for a king. After Saul started making blunder after blunder after blunder, in the beginning he did pretty well. There were some victories, yes. But after a while, he started making mistakes, disobedience. And God twice, I regret giving the Israelites a king. I regret giving in to them. Twice. The Israelite experiment with the anointed king did not end well. You recall how Saul died, right?
Yes.
And he died after he committed the sin of necromancy, in which he consulted the witch of Endor, trying to bring Samuel up from the dead. An abomination in the sight of God. And not long after that, Saul and his three sons were dead. Their heads were cut off. Do you think Saul even made it to heaven?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think you can commit the sin of necromancy and expect to get to heaven.
The Old Testament.
Okay? I don't think he made it. This experiment with the anointed king did not end well. Terrible failure. Okay? Now, but what about David? The anointed king who was great. Now David, we admire King David, right? The man who was after God's own heart, right? King David. And then the son of David was Jesus, right? Jesus was the son of David. So David was a great king. And he was anointed, so what about that? We know that even the life of the anointed King David ended in tragedy because of his sin. Remember? He eventually committed adultery with Bathsheba. How could he commit such a terrible sin? The man was blessed beyond measure by God, right? Power, riches, beautiful wives. And not only that, a very close relationship with God, remember? He had his own tent of David, remember? The Ark of the Covenant? was in his own personal tent. He could go in and out of the tent and meet with God. He didn't have to sacrifice animals. He didn't have to do the priestly thing. He went directly into God's presence. So David was a type of New Testament believer, right? So David was blessed beyond measure. Yet, he committed adultery and murder. How could he do such a thing? Could it be that this anointing is not meant for human beings? That when you have this kind of anointing, which is meant only for deity, that somehow you can get carried away by success and pride and greed and eventual downfall. Has that happened to any anointed servants of God today?
Yes.
Really? Don't mention any names, please. You might get angry at me. He sinned. The anointed King David sinned. Could it be that the anointing is not meant for human beings who can be tempted by pride and greed and sin? See, when you have this anointing, what happens? You become great. You become a superstar. And when human beings become superstars, eventually they become falling stars. Lucifer, could he take all of that glory? Could Lucifer take it? Even Lucifer couldn't take it. And he ended up becoming a falling star. The anointing to heal and save and deliver should be reserved for deity alone. That's what I have concluded. It's for deity. It's for the Son of God. It's for Jesus Christ alone. He can take it. He can take it. But human beings, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. When God's people seek after an anointed pastor to lead them and go out before them and fight their battles, it is not pleasing to God. God would rather have his people seek and trust him to teach them to fight their own battles by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's God's will. God wants his people to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Instead of remaining helpless infants, forever dependent upon an anointed servant of God to deliver and bless them. Therefore, we should exercise careful discernment toward those ministers who claim to be specially anointed to bless or deliver God's people in some way. Be careful. Exercise discernment. Some of them may be the false Christs, the false anointed ones, about whom Jesus warned us. Some of them could be. Even if they are not a false anointed one, they do actually have God's anointing, they might be setting themselves up to fall eventually. It is often the case that ministers who place heavy emphasis on the anointing in their ministries also advocate practices which are not scriptural. Is that true? Yeah, sometimes they teach some pretty weird things. And what do they say? Do not touch God's anointed. I know it's not scriptural, but I'm God's anointed. Do not touch me. Isn't that what they usually say? Oh, let's look at that a bit later. Let's look at that. Some supernatural manifestations which occur in their ministries are not found in Scripture, right? Some of the miracles that they do are not in Scripture. How about diamonds? Do you have the diamond thing here yet?
No, it's in Brazil.
It's in Brazil. Oh, it skipped Trinidad. Praise God. Do you have the gold dust?
Not in this church.
Not in this church. Praise God. Are those things found in the Bible? The gemstones, the gold dust?
No.
Not in the New Testament. So, and often they talk about anointing. Often they talk about anointing when they do such unscriptural things. Such ministers also often place excessive emphasis on receiving generous offerings from God's people and enriching themselves. Is this also true?
Yes.
They talk a lot about anointing. I'm anointed to make you rich. But you must sow a seed. A very generous seed. And then I will give you this anointing to become rich. They know how to take offerings. They really do. They push the right buttons. And we come running with our offerings to them. They know how to press the right buttons. Matthew 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. Many will say to me on that day. Is this many or few?
Many.
There's many.
Many.
Many. And that could include me. So that's why I'm so careful. I don't want to be one of those many. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. You see, this is what we are teaching people to do, right? Cast out demons, perform miracles. And I will tell you, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so I do not want this to happen to me. So when I teach miracles and casting out demons, I follow scripture very closely. And I do not talk about the anointing to cast out demons and to heal the sick. There is no such thing in the New Testament. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Jesus keeps on saying many, 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 many. Is he just kidding or is he telling the truth? I think he's serious about this. Many means many. And do you think they're in the church today? I think so. They're in the church today. For false Christ or false anointed ones. False anointed ones. And false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect if that were possible. They can perform miracles. Powerful miracles. Yes. So be careful, be discerning, know the scriptures, stay close to the scriptures. That's how we can test them. Stay close to the scriptures and ask the Lord for discernment. Ask the Lord for the anointing to know the truth so that we don't become deceived. New Testament scripture, therefore, does not teach that we have been anointed or given the anointing to bless or minister with power as is commonly claimed today. It's not there. However, it is clear that we have been given power and authority by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're not helpless.
Amen.
We do have power, dunamis. We do have authority, exousia. And we do have gifts of the Holy Spirit with which we can minister and bless. Amen?
Yes.
That we do have.
Yes.
But the anointing? I don't think so. That's for Jesus alone. So let us heed Jesus' warning about being deceived. And be careful to discern and to divide the scriptures properly. I'm not saying that everyone who uses the word anointing is a false prophet. No. A lot of us, sometimes we use it out of ignorance, or we're just repeating what someone else said. I'm not saying we're all false prophets, but some of them, they are false prophets. When they depend heavily on this anointing, and they're always teaching about the anointing, and getting rich from the anointing, and performing all kinds of weird miracles, and using weird practices using the anointing. That could be the sign of a false prophet. What's the difference between gift and anointing? Gift we have, right? Gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift of wisdom, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit we do have. But anointing? Let's look at this. Gift in the Greek is charisma, as in gifts of healing. And this we have been given. Charisma. For example, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, gifts of healing. Yes, absolutely. We have this. Gifts are clearly meant to be used to minister to other people. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, we have gifts. But anointing is chrisma in the Greek. It's very similar, isn't it? Gift is charisma. Anointing is chrisma. They're almost the same. The only difference is an alpha. But that one alpha makes all the difference in the world in terms of its meaning. Okay? There is anointing. There is chrisma. And this, yes, this anointing we do have. Anointing. Chrisma. But if you talk about anointing to minister to others, that's where you're on thin ice. Okay? We do have this anointing. Yes, indeed. Now, these are the only instances of the term anointing for believers in the New Testament. Anointing to know the truth, the anointing which teaches us all things. This we saw before. Okay? This anointing is a special endowment of the Holy Spirit, according to Strong's, for every believer to know the truth, and which teaches us about all things. We're all anointed in this way. We're all anointed in this way. Every believer is anointed in this way. But that anointing is not for ministering to others supernaturally, as we have seen. There is no other instance of anointing for believers in the New Testament other than this. Alright, once more. Gift is charisma. Anointing is chrisma. Could this partly explain the confusion and misuse of the term anointing? They confuse anointing and gift. They think they're the same, but they are not. They are very different according to Scripture. And maybe it's because they look so similar. The difference between the two is alpha. 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 Charisma instead of chrisma. What a difference in alpha means. One small letter can make such a big difference. Okay, we've seen this before. We are anointed as God's holy possession. Okay. This is the only place in the New Testament where we are anointed. We are anointed as God's possession. Alright, what about this? Touch not God's anointed. I know I'm doing weird things, not in the Bible, but I am God's anointed. Touch not God's anointed. Alright, how do we deal with this? Okay, let's take a look. Let's examine the sole context from which this expression is taken. There is only one place in the Bible where we find this expression. And it is not in the context of David and Saul. It is not there. It is not there. Let me share with you where this is taken from. Psalms 105, verse 10. Let me read it to you. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. Now, who is this about?
Israel.
Israel, the nation of Israel. It's talking about the Israelites, right? Yes. When they were but a few in number, few indeed and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. It's talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years, right? Okay, that's the context. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. He allowed no one to oppress whom?
Israelites.
The Israelites. Now, look at this. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Who are these anointed ones from the Old Testament? The Israelites. The whole nation of God's special people. The seed of Abraham. The whole nation. And so, who are the anointed ones in the New Testament? The whole body of Christ. The whole body of Christ. We are the anointed ones in the New Testament. All of us. Not just Reverend so-and-so. All of us are the anointed ones in the New Testament. Okay, this is where that verse is taken. From Psalm 105. Touch not my anointed ones. It's from here. It's taken completely out of context. Now, it is true that David would not lay a hand on Saul, the Lord's anointed. Yes, that's true. He said that 3 or 4 times. I will not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. But that one, the other one, touch not the Lord's anointed, that's not from verse Herod. That's from Psalms 105. So there's a problem right there. Yeah, David would not touch Saul. The Lord himself did away with Saul. And you know how terrible that was. You know how terrible that was. God removed him personally. So is this an excuse for letting the anointed pastor get away with everything? Is this an excuse for letting him get away and do everything he wants? It's not a good excuse. No. I don't think we can use this to let them do whatever they want. And now, we see the Lord doing away with his fallen anointed ones in the church today. Do we see this happen? We see this happening. We see this happening now. Today, some of these ministers who call themselves the anointed ones, they're falling. Okay? I think God himself is bringing them down. He is not pleased with them. Alright, we don't have to go into this. Okay? So, again, I have to apologize for offending you, but I believe that this is from Scripture. Examine this and pray about this. Right? Again, not everyone who says anointed is a false prophet. Some of us, we just say it inadvertently. Yeah. But some of them are indeed the false prophets. Watch out for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, today I have used 2 different files. Okay? And I want to give both of those files to you. If you have not given your email to me, it's okay. Brother Prophet Rohan will forward to you the link on the internet where you can download both of the files I have used for this conference. Okay? And I am so blessed to give it to you. Please use it for review and teaching others. Okay? Well, the Lord bless you. Thank you so much.